Blog Talk Radio.
Good night.
Thank you.
All around the world, if you want to bring that here to me, you don't want to be in something that clarity.
scripture will be used in this
Yeah. We get at least one song. Be all right, though. Well, welcome back, guys. Hallelujah. What a powerful anointing there was there tonight. There has been in this service. Now, you may have never been a part of this type of a service before. Probably have because you've been here with me and you've seen it, but just in case, let me remind you again. Isn't that some? There you go. Let me remind you of what it is that we just saw tonight. Because this is a very biblical process, and you and I are Bible people. If there's one thing that you and I are known for here on the Community of Faith, and that is opening up that Bible and studying it and hearing the Word of God, speaking the Word of God, growing and developing by the Word of God. And so let's open our Bibles to Acts. Chapter 13. Anybody want to shout? I love the word. I'm not sure how many days are left of this jail sentence, but hey, at least we can say with the disciples that we spoke the word with boldness, even though it caused us to be put in jail. You might say, are you in jail, Pastor? Well, we don't have the ability to use our YouTube channel yet, but it'll be all right. We're not the first ones to have to, that have had to go through this. And, you know, it's sort of like a badge of honor in our day that we get to suffer for Jesus like this. I don't know. That's what the disciples said. And I say with all boldness that we will the word of God. Now, Acts 13, and let's go from verse 1 down to verse 12. Now, in the church that was at Antioch, there were certain prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simeon, who was called Niger, Lucius, of Cyrene, Manaen, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. Yeah, they still call him Saul. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said, separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. As they ministered to the Lord, and fasted, and ministered to the Lord is what you see happening here in the Holy Spirit Conference. We worship, we sing, we give glory and honor to God. And, you know, people have come from all over the nation and around the world to be a part of it. The Holy Spirit said, that's the key ingredient here. The Holy Spirit said, separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I've called them. Then having fasted and prayed and laid hands on them, they sent them away. Verse 4. So being sent out by the Holy Spirit. Say it with me. By the Holy Spirit. See, even though the men of God and the prophets and pastors and teachers that were there at that time were the ones that laid hands on them, it was the Holy Spirit who sent them out. They went down to Seleucia, and from there they sailed to Cyprus. And when they arrived in Salamis, they preached the word of God in the synagogue of the Jews. They also had John as their assistant, John Mark. Now, when they had gone through the island to Paphos, they found a certain sorcerer, a false prophet, a Jew whose name was Bar Jesus, who was with the proconsul, Sergius Paulus, an intelligent man. This man called for Barnabas and Saul and sought to hear the word of God. So who was seeking the word of God? Sergius Paulus was seeking the word of God. Verse 8. But Elymas the sorcerer, for so his name is translated, withstood them, seeking to turn the proconsul away from the faith. Then Saul, who also is called Paul, filled with the Holy Spirit, looked intently at him, the sorcerer, and said, O full of all deceit and all fraud, you son of the devil, you enemy of all righteousness, will you not cease perverting the straight ways of the Lord? And now indeed the hand of the Lord is upon you, and you shall be blind, not seeing the sun for a time. And immediately a dark mist fell on him, and he went around seeking someone to lead him by the hand. Then the proconsul believed when he saw what had been done, being astonished at the teaching of the Lord. Now, you can see that this anointing, when they anointed him with oil and laid hands on him, that anointing immediately began to change their life. As Saul went out, of course, when you look at it, this is 17 years of Saul's conversion. So he's gone through the wilderness experience with Jesus. Jesus revealed himself personally to Paul and manifested the truth to him. And then he was just being faithful in the church. Think about the great apostle Paul, who wrote 2/3 of the New Testament. At this point, was just being faithful in the local church. Just there, he was with the other teachers and the prophets. He was just a part of the ministry, doing his thing. And the Holy Spirit spoke and said, separate unto me Saul and Barnabas. Now, if you think about it, this is why Dr. Barclay was saying tonight, if you have begun to have a feeling that you are going to be and the fivefold ministry, come up front for the clarity, to get the clarity. So tonight looked like pretty much this whole night was a night that was designed to bless the fivefold ministry. Now, what is powerful about that is the anointing on pastor's life is designed to destroy yokes, remove burdens, set people free, and to cause the fivefold ministry leadership to go. And you heard him as he talked to each one of those pastors as you went down the line. Literally, we received a Bible study lesson tonight in don't quit and be faithful. Now, I know many of those pastors that were there and were there in their life. He talked to Brad Booster. His dad was one of my best friends. Jerry was one of my best friends, Jerry Klooster. And Jerry was always teasing me about owning a Harley and riding motorcycles. And then one day, one of the men in his church said, "Fess, you just tease us all the time. Why don't you come ride? I think you'll like it." They did everything and trained. It was training him right how to ride. And went around a curve in a car. He said, raise him from the dead. What are we doing? Why is that? Why is this man of God not coming back from the dead? Lucy Schaub, her husband was one of my good friends, Kyle Schaub. So I was there. I know what these guys have been through. You know, I've seen these ministries that he was talking to go from where they are into the places where they are today. But I'm telling you, where they were to where they are today. But I'm telling you, it's this anointing with oil and this prayer. Here they get to this place. And Sergius Paulus is like a governor, and he wants to hear the word from Paul and Barnabas. And yet this demonized sorcerer, who was one of the assistants to Sergius Paulus, sent there on purpose by the enemy, already defeated, crushed enemy, to steer that Sergius Paulus away. And what did God do? He sent Paul and Barnabas, right there on their first missionary journey and said, deal with that. And immediately a dark mist fell on him, and he went around seeking someone to lead him by the hand. Guess what? All of his great wisdom is nothing now. Nothing. And so Sergius Paulus can see the truth. Look at it. Then the proconsul believed when he saw what had been done, being astonished at the teaching of the Lord. You and I, when we are anointed by God, it's one of the things that I miss and I know we need more of here, and that is the ability to anoint you with oil and to pray over you. It's very interesting how God has blessed us to be able to do this work that we're doing right here, and we're doing it. We're being faithful to it. And yet there's parts of it that you just want to reach out and touch people. But it's like all of our brothers and sisters that are on Blog Talk Radio around the world. You know, we want to lay hands on you. We want to bless you. We want to anoint you with oil. We don't know who you are. You need to send an email to us and say, "Hey, Pastor, this is who we are." But it doesn't change the fact that in the realm of the Spirit, I can lift my hand and speak over your lives, and the same anointing that Dr. Barclay just spoke that touched my life and Sister Leanne as fivefold minister, that same anointing will touch your life in your place as you receive that same anointing from us as we lift our hands and pray for you. Remember, Jesus cast out demons from people who were not even standing in front of him. The Syrophoenician woman said, "My daughter is greatly distressed by many demons. I couldn't even bring her with me. She's at home. May have been tied to something." But they didn't have nothing else to do then. And Jesus, because of that mama's faith, even when he called her a dog, said, "This is not your time." She said, "You're the Christ, it is my time." And Jesus is like, wow. And Jesus spoke the word, and all those many miles away, that young lady was set free from that demonic force in her life. And so thank you, Jesus, that we can do that. Thank you that I can speak the word of God to you. And I can, Sister Leanne and I can lift our hands and pray over you. and this anointing that is on us as your pastor will get on you to transform you and make a difference in your life. Let's go look at Exodus. Let's go back here to Exodus. Let me see where it is. Exodus chapter 6. Help me, Jesus. Let me just look on my e-sword here. God told Moses to anoint with oil 70 liters. 70 liters. Let's look that up. No. That didn't do me any good either. All right, Exodus 24. Let's try that. Exodus 24. Yeah, this is it. On the mountain with God. Exodus 24 and Moses has just said, if you're not going with me, I'm not going up. Anyways, Exodus 24:1. Let's just read this. And he said to Moses, come up to the Lord, you and Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, and 70 of the elders of Israel, and worship from afar. And Moses alone shall come near the Lord, but they shall not come near, nor shall the people go up with him. So Moses came and told the people all the words of the Lord and all the judgments. All the people answered one voice and said, all the words which the Lord has said, we will do. All right? Verse 9. Moses went up with Aaron, Nadab, Abihu, 70 of the elders of Israel. And they saw the God of Israel. And there was under his feet, as it were, a paved work of sapphire stone. And it was like the very heavens in its clarity. But on the nobles and the children of Israel, he did not lay his hand. So they saw God, and they ate and drank. Then the Lord said to Moses, come up to me on the mountain and be there, and I will give you tablets of stone and the law and the commandments which I have written, that you may teach them. Moses arose with his servant, his assistant Joshua. Moses went up to the mountain of God. And he said to the elders, wait here for us until we come back to you. Aaron and Hur are with you. If any man has a difficulty, let him go to them. Then Moses went up into the mountain, and a cloud covered the mountain. Glory of the Lord rested on Mount Sinai, covered it 6 days. Seventh day he called them Moses. Sight of the glory of the Lord was like a consuming fire on the top of the mountain in the eyes of the children of Israel. So Moses went into the cloud and went up into the mountain, and Moses was on the mountain 40 days and 40 nights. God took all of the leaders up there to minister to him, and then he said, I will take a portion of your spirit and place it upon them. Isn't that something? Well, some reason tonight, I'm having to get my searches a lot farther out. All right. Must be the King James, it says portion. Well, anyways, I'm missing my verses, but I'm not going to keep laboring on it. What he did was he took a portion of Moses' spirit, put it on the people that was surrounding the leaders, and they were able to lead just like Moses was. Maybe it's 19. Jethro's advice, yeah, there it is. Look at Exodus 18. Let's get this. I'm going to get this. You shall teach them the statutes and laws which I show them the way, which they must walk, and the work they must do. You will select from all the people able men, such as fear God, men of truth, hating covetousness, and place such over them to be rulers of thousands, rulers of hundreds, rulers of fifties, rulers of ten, and let them judge at all times. It'll be that the great matters they'll bring to you, that every small matter they themselves will do. Huh. Moses heeded the voice of his father-in-law and did all that he said. Moses chose able men out of all of Israel and made them heads over the people, rulers of 50. Well, isn't that something? There's a verse here somewhere about Moses anointing them, laying hands on them, and his spirit coming upon him. But whatever, it's okay. I will be all right. We've heard a good word tonight. We watched the men of God anoint with oil, pray over people. You saw it in front of your eyes. You witnessed it. You heard Dr. Barclay speak over everybody that was listening online. And so that's you. Make sure you receive that ministry, that prayer from him in Jesus' mighty name. What we saw tonight was a very seasoned general in the kingdom of heaven who is taking the young troops that are there, anointing them with oil, bringing in the very seasoned warriors, anointing them with oil for healing, for recovery, for strength, for courage, and for boldness. And so tonight, I say over every one of us, let's just lift our hands. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, be made whole and strengthened in your body. May you see. I declare the eyes of your understanding are open to see, and your heart is willing to do exactly what it is that God wants you to do in this day, in this time, in this ministry, and you find that place and function in it. Father, I pray in Jesus' name that we've got a lot of believers around the world on YouTube that are not with us, and we declare with great wisdom and knowledge and understanding, we will use the YouTube channel and all the other social networking platforms, and we will spread this word to them. And yet, we'll be an example right here in our home, right here in our community. May our homes be shining examples that you can use and draw people to us and have them in our home and be blessed and ministered to, because your anointing is on us and you draw people to us so that we can bless them and encourage them and help them and see their lives changed in the mighty name of Jesus. I bless every one of these that's with us. And Lord, we lift our hands and we declare over everyone who tonight would like to be with us, but they can't. And they don't understand Zoom, or they don't want to be a part of it, or they're afraid of it or something. In the mighty name of Jesus, we bless them and we encourage them and to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might in Jesus' mighty, mighty name. Father, bless everyone that's here to see and know and understand their place in you. We pray this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen and amen. Well, let's open our Bible up. We'll receive our communion elements together now. We've already been here for 3 hours. And if you want to stay on and do more church afterwards, you can. I'll tell you what, I don't know when I'm going to play it, but this morning's message, wow. Maybe I should play it right now, huh? No, it's too long. It's too long. This morning message by William Luffman, the man that took the offering, and by Jim Cross. Amazing, amazing messages. Amazing messages. There was two of them in the morning session. The morning session lasts about an hour and a half. So if it's something you want to do, just go to Dr. Barclay's YouTube page and search it up, and you'll be able to enjoy it. It's a powerful message. It really is. And so we're going to receive communion, and then we'll be done with this part of this ministry. Now, I want to say this about the stream the last two nights, and it was this morning too. There's an issue somewhere in their internet or something. The buffering that keeps happening is not us. It's on their end. I can see it in the live chat. People are talking about it. And so what's that mean? That means, number one, we pray. We say all of our technologies work all of the time. And thank God that he hears our prayer. No weapon formed against us could prosper. Let's be ones that stand in the gap, make up the hedge, and then not complain, but get the word of God and speak in faith that all of those technologies in that building work properly. And I've been up in that TV room. There is a serious amount of technologies that goes into that kind of a broadcast to bring it to you in the quality and the sound that they have it in. That is not something you learn overnight. I was there when the cameras first got put up, and my goodness sakes, it took 2 months of shooting video for pastor to not have to come to a service and say, can I please ask you to stop picking your nose and cleaning out your ears and clipping your fingernails in church? I mean, it was a very interesting process to learn how to have a live camera in the sanctuary with you so you knew how to function so you can see and be a part of live TV. And it was interesting because God said, I told Dr. Barker, I want you to go on live TV. And he said, I'm not doing that. I don't have no desire for that. And of course, when you say no to the Father, your heart will get you on the inside. And so he said, all right, what's my first step? Because you don't want to say no. You have to say, what's my first step? And so we were there, and I was there and saw it, got to see and watch this all happen. And people get up and go to the bathroom right in the middle of the camera, not watch which camera was on. And so now you got this person walking right up to the camera while the pastor's trying to preach a good message. It was a serious challenge. Now, it happens today, and you don't see anything of it. But, of course, this was 30 years ago we were learning this. And so thank God for this team, and we bless their technologies. It seems that they've just updated a whole bunch of equipment there at the ministry. And in order to be able to stay current with everything that's going on in the world, they've had to update. I think it was like $1 million that they needed to update the equipment. It's just a huge number, and just make your mind go, what in the world are we doing? But that's what causes them to be able to put out this kind of a broadcast, and we bless them now in Jesus' mighty name. All right, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23, let's just pause for a moment. Father, in the name of Jesus, we have just seen you move mightily, mightily in that service and bless so many people. Thank you that there was an anointing on this service that was available for every one of us to hook up to the anointing, for burdens to be removed, for yokes to be destroyed. Thank you for that. Thank you. And now we pause for communion. Right here, right now, you said to the disciples how you longed to have that communion service with them last Passover. And Lord, we thank you that you welcome us in. And our hearts long for this time of communion with you. And we receive it as more than just a religious ritual. We receive it as a time when we actually get to be one with you. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen and amen and amen. Are you ready? Let's read this. For I received from the Lord that which I also deliver to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took the bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it, and he said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same manner, after supper, he also took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Verse 26. "For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death, his redemptive work, until he comes." Verse 28. "Let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup." Verse 31. "For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged." 1 John chapter 4, verses 17 and 18. Wow, isn't that something? We spoke that word last night, love, and look what you did today. I don't mean to shock, Father. We certainly believe your word and the anointing on it. Wow. We spoke that word last night in communion, that 1 John 4, 17 and 18 was for Sister Leanne and her ministry to her dad. And off you went. Wow. Perfect love. Let's see. I got to go to the verse now. Yeah, I started talking about it. Let's see. "Love has been perfected among us in this, that we might have boldness in the day of judgment." Why? Because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love. There's no fear in love. Perfect love. Cast out the fear. Because fear involves torment. He who fears has not been made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. Thank you, Jesus. Remember, anytime that you see someone living in a life of much fear, they need is God's perfect love. Help them get born again. Help them get filled with the Holy Spirit. When they're sinners, they're born again, they'll be able to begin to experience love because they'll receive it from you and me. And then when you get the chance, as soon as you get the chance, lay your hands on them, pray for them, and pray for God's perfect love to be manifest in their life. And then bind trauma and bind fear and bind torment. That's what the enemy brings with all of its battle. And what you and I got to do is stop that. Intercept it. Be the equalizer. No more. We have the restraining order for our enemy. And so, in Jesus' mighty name, perfect love cast out fear in Jesus' name. Well, all of you are born again here tonight. So, let's bless our elements, and then we'll receive them together. Wait a minute. Hold on. I've been wanting to do this for a while, and I'm going to do it tonight. I don't have anything that's going to stop me. Give me just a second. I want to get this. I will get this. So that you and I can have this on a screen, on a slide presentation, so that we can all say it together at the same time. And hopefully make it more effective for people who are being with us. I've seen this for some time now, to do this, and then I've just not gotten it done before the program begins. And of course, when we're live, I want to have as clean of a program as we can, as professional. So I've not done it, but here we go. Somebody help me. Can you see these words?
Yeah.
All right, here we go. I want everybody to read them together. If you want to have your mic on and read them together with me, that's all right. It's just us. Sounds like a whole bunch of us talking at the same time, but that's what church sounds like. So we're going to read down through. We'll go down here. Hold on, let me see if I got it in here. Yeah, there it is. You don't have to say the words eat the bread, but that's what we will do, is eat the bread. All right, here we go. Say this with me. As you instructed your disciples, Jesus, I receive these elements today. This bread representing your broken body, and this juice representing your blood poured out for me. I do this in remembrance of you and all you did for me. You guys can read this out loud with me if you want. You were wounded for my transgression. You were bruised for my iniquity. The chastisement for my peace is on you, Lord. And by your stripes, I am healed in my spirit, in my soul, and in my body, in my mind, my will, and in my emotions. Nothing missing, nothing broken. All trauma removed from my life. I'll pause again. All trauma removed from my life now. Every joint supplying in my body, from your broken body, Jesus, in the body of Christ, in my community, and around the world, wherever you send me or this prayer, I receive the bread, your body broken now, in Jesus' name, amen and amen. Let's receive the bread together tonight. Thank you, Lord, for your body that was broken. Thank you for your blood that was shed. Thank you for your life that you've promised infuses us and our lives. Thank you that you do what you've said in Jesus' mighty name. And now I bless this grape juice in obedience to your word, in remembrance of your blood shed to provide redemption's price and righteousness for me. You guys really can say this with me. By your blood, Jesus, I have been redeemed. By your blood, Jesus, I have reconciliation with God, my Father. By your blood, Jesus, every sin has been placed in remission in my life. I am a new creation, recreated in Christ Jesus. Old things have passed away, and now all things are made new. By the blood of Jesus, I come boldly to the throne room of grace, where I find mercy, grace, and help for my assignment, my dominion mandate on this earth. By your blood, Jesus, and by the word of my testimony, I overcome. By your blood, Jesus, every plague must pass over and cannot be on me or my family. By your blood, Jesus, the accuser of the brethren is cast down forever, and there is no more condemnation in my life. By your blood, Jesus, my conscience is purged. My robes are made white, and I will always be the glorious church without spot, wrinkle, or any other blemish when you come for me. I receive this juice now in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen. Even if tonight you had water, Jesus turned the water into wine in Jesus' mighty name. Let's sing again. I worship you, Almighty God. There is none like you. I worship you, O Prince of Peace. That is what I long to do. I give you praise, for you are my righteousness. I worship you, Almighty God. There is none like you. I worship you, Almighty God. There is none like you. I worship you, O Prince of Peace. That is what I long to do. I give you praise, for you are my righteousness. I worship you, Almighty. Almighty God, there is none like you. I worship you, Almighty God, there is none like you. I worship you, O Prince of Peace. That is what I long to do. I give you praise, for you are my righteousness. I worship you, Almighty God. There is none like you. There is none like you. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Well, there we go. Sister Phyllis, you got the closing verses?
All right. Jude 20-25. But you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And somehow compassion, making a distinction, but others saved with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment defiled by the flesh. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. To God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen. And amen.
And amen. And amen. Thank you, Jesus.
And Revelation 1:5-6. And from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler over the kings of the earth, to him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and has made us kings and priests to his God and Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. I love the word of God.
I love the word of God. And when you go to Revelation chapter 5, verse 9, it says about Jesus, you are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals. For you were slain and have redeemed us to God by your blood. Out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation, and have made us kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign on the earth. Now, isn't that something that God said? Not only on this earth are we kings and priests to God, but we are going to reign on this earth with Jesus as kings and priests. That's going to be an interesting time period. We will be here for 1,000 years on this earth, reigning as kings and priests to God in Jesus' mighty name. Now, we've been, you know, let's see how to say this. I have been saying to each of us for quite a while now that I'm praying for you to have dreams and visions and revelations. and most of all, for God to steal an instruction inside of you, inside of me, that moves us past the things of God. And the things of God. The things that's got us stuck into the things of God. And so I've been asking at the end of our morning program, our prayer group that's there, if any of them have been having dreams. And we've had several people have dreams. Probably each one of us have had a dream since we started. And we're learning how to begin to look at those dreams and say, what about it? What is this? And so thank God for dreams and visions. Thank God for the book of Job says, in the night vision, in the night, when deep sleep falls upon us, we're going to see these dreams and visions. Most of all, God will seal an instruction behind every wall that you got set up. You have a heart and a desire that wants to serve him, but God seals an instruction behind every wall that is set up in our lives, that is set up by religiosity and of religionism. And so this morning, when I was waking up, you know, sometimes as you're waking up, you'll be coming out of your sleep into consciousness and you'll have a little mini dream, and then you fall back asleep and then you wake up and then you have another little mini dream or whatever. Sometimes you have that. That's kind of what I had this morning when I was waking up. And one of the things I saw in that dream, I saw a person who had been stabbed multiple times with a knife. There was a person standing there. I can't tell you whether it's male or female. It's a human. And when I stepped up to take the knife away, the person stabbed me in the throat. And I immediately put my hand on my throat and said, in the name of Jesus, I'm healed, healthy, and whole. Jesus lives inside of me. I'm healed from the inside out. Laid hands on the person that had been stabbed, took the knife away, and laid hands on the person that had been stabbed many times, and they were healed and got up and were healed, completely healed from multiple stab wounds. And so this morning, at the end of our program, I was sharing that with everyone. It was just a matter of a minute after I had said it, I realized exactly what it was saying. And that is this. Maybe you've experienced something in your life where you've been stabbed in the back, stabbed in the front, just stabbed many times. And it may even seem like you were mortally wounded. Or spiritually wounded and almost have lost your faith over that. But just like with me, when I stepped up to take the knife, I got it away by faith. I spoke it out of their hand by faith. Even though I had been stabbed in the throat, which was trying to silence my mouth, my ability to speak, I not only got the knife away, bound that demonized person, but was able to help the other person that had been stabbed many times to be healed. And it's a healing from multiple stab wounds from somebody who was trying to have character assassination on you, speak wickedness against you, whatever it might be. Maybe you've had been divorced, and some of the people that passed in a divorce have been on the wrong side. Maybe it's your children. Maybe it's your ex. Maybe it's, you know, it doesn't matter. People in a church, people in a business, people in a ministry, that could just be a thousand different things that it is. The point is this: by the word of God and faith, and realizing God Almighty lives within us, those wounds heal from the inside out. That was the word that I got this morning, that you could be healed from the inside out. So I bring that to you tonight. I share that as another one of our dreams that we've had. That is a very specific word Now, I know we're all done, but I still got 3 minutes left. So I want you to look at this. First Corinthians 14. And let's go over here with the e-sword to 1 Corinthians 14. And let's get our compare going. I want to read this to us. Now, the New King James says, pursue love and desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. And then it goes on to speak that tongues and interpretation are the same as prophecy. But the word that I want us to see is to desire earnestly. Now, the English Standard Version says, pursue love and earnestly desire the spiritual gifts. All right? The literal translation says, pursue love and seek eagerly the spiritual gifts. Desire spiritual gifts. The New Living Translation says, but you should also desire the special abilities the Spirit gives. All right? The Amplified Classic says, eagerly pursue and seek to acquire this love and make it your aim, your great quest. Earnestly desire and cultivate the spiritual endowments or gifts, especially that you may prophesy, interpret the divine will and purpose in inspired preaching and teaching. Why are you saying this? Because if you don't hold it as holy and as necessary and as important, and you don't cause yourself to desire earnestly these spiritual gifts, guess what? God won't force them on you. And yet what an honor and a privilege to be able to have such a spiritual gift, like a technicolor dream, to help us get past things that have been slowing us down, in Jesus' mighty name. So I say it again tonight. If you've had a dream and you believe there's a spiritual connotation to it, some dreams, they don't have anything to them. They're just, your mind is not at rest. But if for some reason, excuse me, you have one of those, not for some reason, if you've had one of those and you'd like to share it, us that's here, the family, and you can feel welcome to share that right now. Or if you have a question about this. Excuse me. All right. I don't ever want to cause somebody to conjure up something. Don't ever do that, because that's always the wrong spirit. And we don't ever want to be involved in that kind of a spirit. And it's not just so that I can get somebody to say something. That's not the purpose. We're desiring that the gift of God that he's placed in the inside of us will be brought to life. And all of us working together will be blessed and anointed by Almighty God. And it'll help all of us grow and develop to a greater, stronger person. All right. I'm interested. I appreciate every one of you. And I thank you for being here and for being a part of what we got going. Now, tomorrow morning at 10:30 Eastern, they'll be live again. And who knows what's going to happen in the morning session. But, man, today's this morning was amazing. Make sure you get to YouTube and study it together. It'll be a blessing to you. All right? Till we see you again, this is what we say. Remember this. Find me on Telegram. Search for me. And we'll start building that. That just doesn't come together easily. There's so much there. And so we bless you in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. What? Hi, love. How are you doing tonight?
Good. How are you?
I'm all right.
Hold
on a second. There you go. Now I got you in my headset where I can hear you effectively. I like it when you're in my headset. So how's things where you are, Arlen? All right. Good. Well, no, the reason why I'm asking that is like I just said in communion, isn't it something that God gave us that word last night in communion about perfect love cast out fear? And today you were able to get your dad to go and go all those miles. That's awesome. That's awesome. So it turned out to be a good trip. Well, but I think that's part of that dream that I had this morning. Who stabbed him in his back? Who does he feel like who stabbed him in his back? Well, I think it has to do with all kinds of people. I think that dream had to do with you. I think you were the one laying on the ground. I came on a situation where someone was stabbing someone and they stabbed them to where they mortally wounded them and they died and fell on the ground. I took, in my attempt to take the knife away to get them to stop stabbing, they stabbed me in the throat. And I spoke the word of faith and took the knife away and spoke the word of faith over myself, and I was healed, and the person laying on the ground was healed of multiple stabbings. And I believe that was a picture of you and I, what we've just been through. So there's a promise from God for us to be healed. And not worry another day about those stab wounds. What was it trying? What was that demon spirit trying to do through however many of them were talking? It was trying to silence my mouth. And silence the ministry that God has put inside of me. I mean, that's what this whole night was about. Were you able to be a part of it, or did you have to go out in the other room? I don't know what to do with all of that quiet at the end of the program. I don't know what to do with it. What's going on with it? Why is everybody being quiet and not talking? Yeah, but we've got to get past this, or we're never going to go to the next level in God. Hmm. Yeah, that's probably true. Thank you for being a voice of reason, common sense. I know what? Say the words. I put some of the Holy Spirit Conference on Rivers program. I see he had one scheduled, but then he didn't do it because he was at the Holy Spirit Conference. So I just played a little bit of the Holy Spirit Conference on that channel. And then I put up the other one. But it wouldn't have been that loud. I just have to have it that loud in order to hear Dr. Barclay's stream. Oh, jeez. Hold on. My goodness sakes alive.